Thank you, Lord. Nothing greater than getting in God's presence and worshiping. You know, the word says if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. The more you draw near to him, the more he draws near to you. But it takes worship. It takes humility. It takes denying yourself. And it takes coming out of a religious life. Hello? Because religion is bondage. There's freedom in the spirit. Freedom where? In the spirit. The Bible says the letter kills and the spirit brings life, right? The letter kills and the spirit brings life. Why? How is that possible? Because the letter can kill you. But the spirit's what brings life. And if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the letter, which is also associated with the law. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Would you turn to Psalm 100? Psalm 100. Glory. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing, not grumbling. Not with sorrow. Singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, this is where he says you got to have an attitude of gratitude. No matter what you're going through, somebody else is going through it worse. Not that you're comparing yourself to others, but you can think that. I mean, there's somebody going something worse than you. And as we're going through it, somebody's more bound than you. Somebody's more sick than you. Somebody's more fearful than you. Somebody's more poor than you. Hello? Every time we go through these things, oh, why do these things always happen to me? Well, they're happening to someone else too. So we got to be grateful and thankful. Enter his praise with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. Now, how do we bless his name? Praise. Worship. See, to bless God when we come into his presence, blessing is worship with joy. When we come in, we are worshiping with joy, not worshiping because we have to. We're worshiping with joy. You got an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. You're worshiping with joy. That's how you bless him. He loves to see a joyful heart. In fact, the Bible says a joyful heart's good what? Medicine. Amen. Psalm 16. So what we just read are promises of God. And that's what we need to do right now. Right now, there's so much stuff going on. We should be standing on the promises of God like never before. The enemy's trying to push you off the promises of God. And it's too bad so many people don't know the promises of God. If you don't read the Bible, you're not going to know the promises of God. Many people give it the excuse, well, I don't believe it. It's just a book. Because they have no idea. They're nothing about associated with the spirit. They're full of religion. Although there's a lot of religious people that read the Bible. But you got to be spirit-filled. What makes the difference? It makes the difference. Spirit-filled. Those who are led by the spirit are called sons of God. Amen? Psalm 16 and verse 7. I will what? Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. See, when you bless the Lord, he's going to give you counsel. Even while you sleep, you might not even know it. You'll wake up and go, oh. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor shall you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Blessing the Lord is the worship with joy, keeping him in sight in everything you do. Keeping him in sight in everything you do. In his presence is fullness of joy. The word says that joy of the Lord is our strength. He rewards us. He's a father who loves to reward you beyond your expectations. You never know when the reward is going to come. You never know when he's going to bless you. He all of a sudden, an answered prayer comes out of nowhere. It's like, whoa, this is awesome. You know, you just never know when, and you rejoice, and you bless his name over and over and over. Why? Because we're standing on the promises. You know, there's something, there's so many differences. As we were praising and worshiping today, and I'm seeing all these demonic fights and so forth in the spirit with the false religions and doctrines of demons, and here we got a state, Michigan state, that's been taken over, Islamic regime. They want to put Sharia law in there, and they got a Islamic anti-Christ governor and all kinds of other stuff going on in there. You know, there's something I realized. I've never heard of songs that worship Allah. The only thing they know is chant. That's all they can do is chant, because that's demonic. They can't sing to their false god. They chant. Isn't that pretty wild? I've never heard on any radio station a song to Allah. Well, he's dead anyways. I mean, there's no such thing as an Allah. Unless it's some kind of fruit. Allah fruit. I mean, people that follow him are pretty fruity anyways. But anyways, in this, there's such a difference. So they're not seeking the presence of God. They're seeking to be acknowledged by their works, by their murders. They think they're denying themselves, but they're actually promoting themselves. And they're forcing people. I mean, can you imagine a religion that forces you to believe? Jesus said, follow me. That's it. All these other religions say, believe or die. It's a difference. But see, you and I know the promises of God so that we can live from the future to the present. They don't have a future. Their future is nothing but carnal. Many people don't have a future at all. Their future is what they've done today. Jesus said they'll be rewarded for today, but they won't be rewarded eternally. And there's a difference. Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 34, verse 1. Let's speak. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. At all times. I'll bless the Lord only when he rewards me. That's how some people live. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, if that would happen, we wouldn't hear all kinds of other stuff, would we? There wouldn't be grumbling and complaining if there was blessings of the Lord out of your mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be what? Glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he what? Delivered me from all my fears. Is that a promise? Why? Because you sought him. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. So the angel of the Lord that can kill that showed up and killed 140, 130 people one time when he was fighting for David. He's on working on your behalf. He's there to protect us. But he shows up, he protects those who reverence, honor, and respect the Lord. By what? Worship. Praise. Remember, what is blessing the Lord? Worship with joy. That's how we bless him. Bless at all times. Worship with joy. Reverence him in all things, and the angel of the Lord will protect. Never lacking. We will never lack. We'll never reach that point of lack. We'll always have life and life abundantly because he brings far above all we could ever ask or think. Now, remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and the first thing he wants to steal is your identity. Amen? When you begin to compromise your identity, you begin to compromise praise and worship. You don't get into God's presence. When you begin to do that, the protection begins to diminish, and the enemy knows. He knows exactly why, because we become weaker without God's presence. Without God's presence, we become what? Weaker. Psalm 103. You know, we never lack. Again, once we reach this place of complete trust, you'd never lack nothing. When you come to that place of complete trust, you don't lack anything. You know it's coming. 103, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the what? Eagles. I love that. I'd like to be renewed every time I come in God's presence. You know, there's an area where you can keep up and stay healthy by eating and certain things that you take, supplements and whatever, because the nutrition of the food is just not enough. But then the major part of everything is God's presence. He restores you and renews you. He energizes you. If you recall Friday night, everybody left here energized. I mean, we were jamming. I mean, I danced all the way home just about. My feet were still moving while I was sleeping. You wake up with that song and yes. Forget not his benefits. These are benefits of promises. Again, we need to be so standing on the promises of God right now. Now, there are promises. You know, people take some of God's promises out of order. I had a woman call me one day and she wanted me to touch and agree with her on the phone that her husband would be restored to her. I thought, well, that was a good prayer, you know. Well, where is he? Well, he's married now. Well, I'm not going to touch and agree with you. How long you been divorced? Oh, 4 years. You're still praying for him to come back to you? Go find a new one. She was a granola, nutty and fruity. False promises. Taking these things out of order. He probably left her for a reason, you know. Hallelujah. So anyways, 2 Peter chapter 3. Steve. standing on the promises. Standing on the promise. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together, I think. Oh, that's 1 Peter. The Lord is not slack in what? Concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, if you're looking forward, are you looking in the future? Yeah. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught, unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the plan or grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. In him be glory both now and forever and ever and ever. Be steadfast. Know the future of the promises of God. Not holding traditions of men, letting them go. Amen. And false realities, false promises. Anybody been promised to and never somebody didn't fulfill their promise? Don't raise your hands. Everybody's gone there. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 9. Standing on the promise. Verse 9, is everybody there? Hebrews 6, verse 9. But, beloved, we are confident in better things concerning you. Yes, in things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this matter. Excuse me. Ah, that was good. Let's start at verse 9 again, okay? But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the blessing. Yes, hallelujah. Inherited blessings. Not giving up. Not being swayed away. Hebrews 10. In verse 35. Hebrews 10:35. Let's speak it, please. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In other words, after you've completed, this is two phases. After you've completed your mission on the earth, you may receive the promise of eternal life. And after you've completed what God's assignment that God has given you, there's a promise. He's given you an assignment to do, whether it's come to total freedom, whether it's come to whatever, that once you complete that assignment, a promise is released. Even by doing something, he may tell you to go search something out in the scriptures, and as you begin to find something, he's going to release a revelation. Why? Because those are promises. But you must do the will to receive the promise. So many people want promises before doing. It's like somebody going to get a paycheck without working. Hey, man, I want a paycheck. For what? I don't know. I just want a paycheck. Well, you don't even work here. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We need endurance to complete the mission on earth and receive the promises. Ephesians 2. That's why the word says, forsake not to assemble. Again, the less you assemble, the weaker you get. The more you assemble, the stronger you get. Ephesians 2:11, please. Let's speak it. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I love it. Thank you. Children of promise, Romans 9. Romans 9. In verse 6, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by her father Isaac. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand. Not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Well, children of promise. Titus chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Titus Titus 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now that's pretty powerful. He's confessing God can't lie. So his promises are true and faithful, aren't they? They're yes and amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 1. Simple reminder of standing on the promises. And we need to big time right now. In verse 15. Everybody there? Let's speak it. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you in Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and to be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and no, and no. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Salvius, Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. And he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul that to spare you I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over you, your faith, but as fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. Wow. Again, here we are talking about the area and God's promises that are faithful and true. And I'm going to close with this other scripture. I got one more. Romans 8, 28. Hallelujah. 8, 28. Promises. We are children of promise. We are covenant children of covenant promises. We stand on the promises of God, which allow us to live from the future to the present. Verse 28, let's speak it. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified, that the world may see him in you. Amen? That the world may see him and you. It is so important. Let's continue. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He shall what? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also made intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, or separate us from his promises. But you remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, right? So he likes to deceive people, to forget. That's why it says, forget not his benefits. Forget not his promises. We must restore his promises to you, your mind, your will, your desire every single day. That's when we lose those that we begin to drift and the promises to begin to no longer manifest. Amen? It takes faith to maintain those promises. And you must stir up yourself to maintain faith. Remember, faith is forever in the heavenlies. We live from the future to the present, not from the present to the future. We live from the future to the present and not from the past to the present. Living from the future is only established by standing on the promises of God. That's what makes us different from the world. That's why they fear death. They fear all kinds of things. They worry. The Word tells us we shouldn't worry. Amen? Why worry? What's it going to do? Nothing. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and keep them focused on the Lord. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask you to protect the word that's been imparted and the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And prepare our hearts for communion. In Jesus' name, amen.